Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Pod save the king!
Hello and welcome back to Pod Save the King. I am your host, Anne Gripper. And I mean, I don't know what is going on in 2024, but we've let Russell Myers drive the magic box in the studio. Our departed producer, Dan Jackson, will be so proud of you, Russell. Hello, nice to see you again.
Hello to everybody. I mean, I feel very, very, nervous. It's all very exciting. We're in the hot seat, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, so I'm at home. Russell's in the studio and we're recording over Zoom, and it is lovely to have you all with us listening once again. When we caught up last week, Russell, you did predict that there was a flurry of difficulty to come once again for the royal family, and it did in the form of the latest round of sort of Epstein papers, court documents being unsealed. What did we find out? Was there anything new? How big a deal is it? What should we be thinking about it all?
Well, I don't think necessarily there's anything, new per se, but I mean, the extensive raft of allegations that are facing Prince Andrew have some been well documented, others have been unearthed again or sort of rehashed, but they're just making severely uncomfortable headlines, and not only for the Duke of York, but certainly for the rest of the royal family. And just to give you a bit of a recap, that a judge in the United States had declared that a catalogue or tranche of documents could be unsealed, and they related to a 2015 case of Virginia Giuffre against Ghislaine Maxwell, which had long been since settled. But these documents sort of naming very, very high profile individuals, including Prince Andrew, Bill Clinton, Stephen Hawking, various visitors to Epstein's mansions across the globe and island in the Caribbean. And it's really it's very, very uncomfortable reading, a lot for the royal family, and certainly Andrew. Further calls coming forward for police to quiz him, that was echoed by the leader of the Labour Party, Sir Keir Starmer, and I think that this is really gathering pace now to a certain extent that it hadn't previously, and the fact that the king had welcomed Andrew back into the family fold, not necessarily to public duties, but standing pretty much shoulder to shoulder with him at the coronation during the summer, and then at Christmas time as well. It's all pretty uncomfortable, and I think there are a lot of people calling into question the king's judgment for doing that. And also, where does this leave Andrew and the rest of the royal family? A lot of people saying that the king should banish him, certainly have nothing more to do with him in terms of the family engagements. But it would be interesting to see what the next lot of developments are, because I think there are 1,000-odd pages to be revealed. We've probably had several hundred of them so far, and it's this drip, drip, drip of information that is quite worrying for the family. And whilst there may not be new elements for a criminal investigation to be launched, the very fact that we're still talking about it is pretty bad for the royals.
It is that drip, 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 not just of, the documents coming out drip, drip, drip day after day, but this saga just never seems to quite go away. I mean, he thought he'd dealt with it when he did that interview, which clearly obviously backfired spectacularly. And then probably he thought he'd dealt with it when some, you know, an out-of-court settlement was made, and a sort of a non-liability one, and a payment to the sort of funds for the foundation and the victims. But, you know, there's always something that keeps on bringing it back, and it's very hard to see how it does ever end.
Well, the issue now is not only Andrew's issue, it's an issue for the King and Prince of Wales, possibly down the line, because we previously revealed that there was a bit of a standoff between Charles and William pretty much saying that he should come nowhere near the family, he's toxic, and this will only end badly, and Charles overruling him and the rest of the family and telling them to step in line, and that he would be welcomed back to the family fold, because he wanted him to be, and he viewed this as the £12 million settlement being made to Virginia Giuffre, the fact that there was no criminal case forthcoming, there was no further civil cases to come forward. He viewed that as a line drawn under it, and Andrew had lost everything, so he should be welcomed back into the family. Now, the issue for the King is that his judgment is being called into question. And I also think that the fact of his stubbornness in telling his family to basically fall back and to get behind his decision isn't a great look. And I think that when Andrew is sort of taking part in public walkabouts in Sandringham at Christmas time, people are wondering, like, you know, how did he get here? Why on earth is he here talking to members of the public? Shouldn't have he been banished in disgrace like we were all told that he was going to be after he was forced to step back from all his military and appointments and patronages and what have you. So it's a bit of a mess. And I find a lot of the time that the mess is their own fault. And so it could be pretty easily sorted if Andrew wasn't anywhere near, you know, within the vicinity of the King, Queen and senior royals. And yet they've allowed him to sort of creep back in. Incidentally, I think the palace is saying that this isn't a calls to rehabilitate him. There's no way he will even get back to frontline duties. But my viewpoint on this is quite staunchly that the optics of having him around the place is really not a good look.
Is it about having him around the place, or is it about not being discreet? And I think with some of this, you know, he is a member of the family, and for him to be able to spend time with his family on Christmas Day is not unreasonable. I mean, I don't think the words discretion would ever probably be ones that would be associated
with Andrew, yeah, exactly,
or with Fergie. You know, they like the limelight. I mean, Fergie is clearly a people person as well. She loves talking to people. I'm not sure that the same thing could be levelled at Prince Andrew. But, you know, if he'd just like driven in his car to the church at Sandringham, because it's not unreasonable to want to spend Christmas with your family, and it's not unreasonable if going to church is part of your Christmas Day tradition to want to go to church. And yes, it would be nice to have a walk to church with your family, but when there's a load of other people there to see people who are not you, realistically, like the core working members of the royal family and their children and sort of other non-conflicted people, if you like. I don't think anybody was there really to see Prince Andrew. He was not the dream ticket that they were looking for.
Well, they might not be.
I may be wrong. If you were the person who wanted to see Prince Andrew,
get in touch, yeah.
Please let me know. But, you know, if he'd just driven himself to church, gone in, done the service, gone back, and then, you know, had the turkey behind closed doors and played the parlour games and done the presents and all of that, would that have felt more acceptable?
Well, it would, because I buy into your point that, you know, his family is welcome to go to, welcome to spend time with his family who have invited him to be there. But when he's taking part in public walkabouts after church and questioning people why they were taking photos or videoing, I mean, mind your own bloody business. That, you know, it's a public space. He is the one entering that public arena. Everybody knows people have phones out and what have you these days. I mean, it's an awful part of the job that they probably feel that nobody should have phones and videoing them the whole time. It's fairly awkward, but he's put himself in that position. And like you say, that is only because of his sheer arrogance that he would do that. And he loved being part of the limelight. But I think it will, the drip, drip, drip of information, and the fact that then you have the backstory of Charles attempting to, you know, make him step out of Royal Lodge, evict him, whatever you want to call it. He is presented to these different scenarios to him, and Andrew is not willing to leave. And that this then sparked another debate about whether the king was going to be press. I mean, it depends what papers you were reading last week. The one was saying the king is pressing forward with moves to evict him, which incidentally can't really happen because the Royal Lodge is owned by the Crown Estate, and that deal is with, or his lease is with the Crown Estate and not with the king. But it's obviously causing tension between Andrew and potentially Fergie and the king as well. And so that's not going to be solved. Does Charles just want an easy life? Most definitely probably does, because he doesn't want to keep listening to the same old arguments put forward or the same tawdry allegations being made against his brother. And unless there is some form of criminal element to these claims, which there hasn't been so far, then I'm told that the king will stick by him. But that patience may wear thin, and well, it might, because I just think, as again, the drip, drip, drip of information is very, very damaging to the monarchy.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
And probably by the time this is all settled down again, we'll be about in time for the Netflix drama that's due to be made of that famous Newsnight interview, and then it'll all blow up again. And as we've seen, you know, there's a big TV drama that's hit the screens last week around big scandal around the post office, where loads of people who ran post offices were wrongly convicted because of bad software, essentially. And it's been a massive, biggest miscarriage of justice that there has been, but there's never really been a huge weight of public anger behind it. But then there's been this TV show, and everything's changed in the course of about 10 days. And it was interesting, actually, the post office, the man who ran the post office in Bucklebury, he had also been caught up in it, and then he's spoken this week about how the Middletons had stuck by him through it all. And I think they went to a party when his conviction was overturned and such things. But, you know, the impact that a TV drama of a real thing can have can sometimes be quite extraordinary. So there's potentially another round of awkwardness to come whenever this one does finally settle down. Do we know when that one's on the horizon, Russell?
Imminently.
All?
I don't know the exact dates, but they will be very, very interesting watching, won't they? And again, rehashing everything, and people will be poring over the detail and enjoying the saga once more, because that's what it has been. It's been a pretty sorry saga all round.
Well, I hope they manage to find an actor who is unable to sweat, so that will be a good place to start. Something I have enjoyed, I've not actually watched that TV show yet, the post office one, but one thing I have done is listen to the Queen's Reading Room podcast this week, the first episode. Have you had a listen, Russell?
Well, I haven't, no. And I've read the reviews, and I suppose maybe I should do this afterwards, because the reviews in The Times and The Guardian over the last couple of days have been absolutely scathing. And saying that it was a wasted opportunity, and the fact that, you know, if you wanted to know anything about the Queen, this is probably not the place to start off. I do think that it was probably, having seen some of the clips and read the coverage, it's a bit of a wasteful opportunity to have the CEO of a charity and not, you know, a seasoned interviewer taking the interviews, because you're losing the questions, you're losing the way that it's been formatted. But what did you think of it?
So I thought I was in two minds about it, because I was I missed, you know, one of the things I enjoy about doing this with you, Russell, is that we bounce off each other and have different opinions.
Indeed,
and there is conversation.
Indeed.
As much as you might sometimes like to do a little monologue, I do try to get in there, and we go to and fro as well. But, you know, the interview with Ian Rankin, it is essentially a monologue in bits. So it could have been, you know, the questions could have been sent over and it could have just been sort of recorded in chunks. But that being said, he was fascinating to listen to and so in love with writing and reading. And ultimately, this podcast is not about the Queen. It is about reading and it is about books and it is about the magic of books and what that can bring to you, and people who are known for being associated with books, sharing a bit of that with you. And I don't know, being a bit one of you rather than just a name on a novel or whatever kind of book it is. So Ian Rankin writes the really kind of sort of gritty, grimy police novels about Rebus. One thing I particularly enjoyed him saying was like the first time he stopped reading a book, because my husband, he's always determined, if I've started reading it, I'm going to read it all the way to the end, even if I hate it. And it's like, well, you know, what a waste of time. There's so many other things that you could be doing. And he was saying the first time he stopped reading a book, he'd done about 500 pages before he decided.
Gosh, I mean, that's tapping out of the 11th hour.
Oh, he didn't say I missed how many pages it actually was. So he probably has saved himself a bit. But so from that perspective, I really enjoyed hearing from him. But I did think how different it would have been whether it had been Camilla or somebody else having a little bit of engagement, or even if she'd had like one small bit of conversation with him at the end, would have been quite nice. What we did have, and this was quite clever, I thought, was finding a bit of a conversation Camilla had had some time ago with an author. So a bit of recycling from the archives, probably not something that we've heard about before. So talking with another writer about how he gets his plot ideas and that kind of thing, which was quite cool. And then a question to the Queen about her own reading, which they're going to do each week. And realistically, that will be the bit that probably gets clipped and shown on social media. And this week it was about the books for the grandchildren that she's most enjoyed reading and the voices. So Harry Potter was the answer, but she said she's terrible at voices, but Charles does the voices. Do you do voices when you're reading, Russell?
I do. I do attempt to. I do accents as well. Full repertoire.
Excellent. My dad always used to be tremendous at voices. Something I really remember from childhood. And I do feel a bit guilty because I'm definitely not doing voices reading, but I love the books and discovering new ones is very exciting. But reading is a great thing. And the thing I did really enjoy, though, was having a line from a librarian who had chosen a particular literary nugget to share. So Emma from Chichester Library was the first one, and it was a cracker. So, I mean, have a listen. It's worth a listen if you're interested in books. You won't learn a lot about Camilla from it, but it is a good one. So I'll look forward to hearing the next one of those next week, I'm sure. But in the meantime, what else has been going on? Oh, Hollywood was out and about. And we have a question from listener Holly Lynch. Thanks for getting in touch, Holly. She says, what's your opinion on Gina Torres's comment at the Golden Globes about not having Meghan's number for the Suits reunion? Seemed like she was throwing a bit of shade, wondering if Meghan was invited or not. So the Suits cast was there to present the Best TV Drama Series Awards. Glamorous on the red carpet. Appears that she was invited but had a pre-existing commitment, but she's not in their WhatsApp group.
Who said this? I mean, is this her PR?
Entertainment Today said that.
Oh, right, okay. Most probably briefed from the Archwell PRs. I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, we shouldn't be unkind. I thought it was a bit unnecessary, to be honest, that comment. I did feel my toes curl at it, and the fact, we didn't have a number, she's probably watching. I mean, Suits has had this huge renaissance, hasn't it? Because it became the number one watched show on Netflix in terms of that genre, had sort of a big resurgence. There's talk of it coming back, whether Meghan Markle would reprise her role. I can't see it. But if you remember way back when, the Prince of Wales, as he was then, now King Charles, had said to her that she could carry on her acting and that he would be fully behind it. And she decided to give it up for love, for queen and country at the time, I suppose you could say. And now she probably won't go back to it. I wonder if she regrets the decision, possibly not sort of stepping back. I suppose once you've gone forward and you've been catapulted to the sort of stratosphere as she had been, you probably don't go back to what made you famous in the first time. But maybe she wants, maybe she would like to do it.
Well, we saw her in that advert the other week, so she's still, you know, dabbling. And well, all of the royals seem to be doing podcasting at the moment, so maybe a podcast in 2024 for Meghan might be the way.
I think
forward.
She's done that, and it didn't work out already. Too well today. I mean, maybe she'll have to. Maybe we'll get her on here. She'd, you know, give a
yeah. Don't need you anymore.
A bit of our sparkle dust. Yeah, you're replacing me, the Duchess of Sussex. Fair enough. Listen, I do think there will be interesting things to come from Meghan and Harry this year. One would have thought that it would have taken a bit of a step back, learnt from mistakes of what had happened, and the mudslinging and shouting from across the pond has really helped no one, has it? I don't think it's done their reputation any favours. I don't think it's done their relationship any good at all with the rest of the royal family. And one may hope, for their own sake and sanity, and possibly for the sanity of us all, that they kind of take a bit of a step back, work out what Archwell is going to be about. You know, losing this term service can be universal, I think. I think that it can. I think that when they first said that, it was a bit of a dig at the fact that they'd been forced to step outside their Sussex royal role and couldn't have one foot in, one foot out, and what have you. But I do think it can be universal, and they have the capacity to do a lot of good in the world. So 2024 might be their year. That might be a prediction.
We shall see. So obviously there was loads of glamour on the red carpet for the Golden Globes, but we also got to enjoy, well, you know, a nice trot through the archives and some new pictures, or one very special new picture yesterday. We're recording on Wednesday, so yesterday, for happy birthday to the Princess of Wales. And that picture that Chris Jackson took, which was shared by the royal family to mark the occasion, we're kind of getting used to seeing these coronation behind the scenes photos being released on key days. And I thought it was absolutely stunning. And it is that classic thing as well. You know, you can have the posed up pictures all you like, but actually something that is caught in the moment, when everything comes together, the lighting, the composition, you've got Charles in the foreground with his sparkly crown. You've got Zoe, our friend of the podcast, spotted Princess Eugenie in the background, sort of laughing, like tiny, tiny little face in the background. You've got Sophie, you know, there's so much going on in that picture gently, but the focus is on Kate and she looks regal, beautiful, you know, kind of summed up how she looked on that day, that amazing headdress, the amazing colours in her outfit. I thought it was very lovely.
Yeah, you'd probably be right.
Have I gone a bit overboard, Russell?
Never.
Wednesday afternoon. I like a good picture, and it'll be interesting to see how long we keep guessing the sort of the coronation behind the scenes moments coming out, but hopefully there'll be a few more of those. So happy birthday to Kate. Also, we love a royal baby, don't we?
Oh, love a royal baby.
Do you know about the new Luxembourg prince?
No.
Best royal baby name likely this year. Balthazar.
Oh,
Felix,
wow.
Carl.
Yes. Balthazar. What's he? Well, Bart for short, I suppose, maybe.
No. Bally? Tsar?
Tsar. Yeah. Why not?
B. Let's just get Pete. He's a little brother for Amalia and Liam. So there we go. Congratulations to the Luxembourg royal family.
Enough about the Luxembourg royal family. We've got the big Danish royal family coming up this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
It's sort of the coronation that isn't a coronation. And we still don't have the full sort of set of schedule as to what's happening. I hope it's not just, you know, drinks in a pub
and
or something.
The key's over.
It's just, yeah, you want a bit of glitz and glamour. I mean, fair enough, yeah, pare it down from our own coronation, but I think people are still expecting quite a lot. Certainly our Australian cousins, they're very, very keen about it because of Princess Mary is going to become their first queen. Australian queen, Queen Mary of Denmark. It's all very interesting, I think, and the timing of it and what have you. I know we covered this on last week's podcast, but I'm looking forward to dissecting it over the weekend and next week because it does interest me quite a lot.
And we look forward to talking about that on next week's show. The royals are gently starting to resume work after the new year, I think it's fair to say. Princess Anne hopped on a plane with husband Tim. They've got a little bit matchy-matchy again after their matching scarves at Christmas at Sandringham. They've now got matching sort of linen-style jackets as they disembark in Sri Lanka.
Carrying her own bags as well. Who would have thought this is, Princess Anne, hard-working royal. We know exactly what she's about, don't we? And winning all the plaudits for carrying her own bags off the plane. First royal out the blocks for a tour in 2024, showing the youngsters how it's done. Mentioning no names, but I think that it's an exciting trip. This one I'm a bit more than gutted that I'm not on, because I think Sri Lanka would be a fantastic place to visit. Rumours that she's going to the Maldives as well. Gosh, just getting it all in there.
Someone's got to do it, Russell.
Yeah, I know. I did put myself forward for it as well, but it didn't really fall in my time. Yeah.
So what else do we have to look forward to other than Denmark?
Well, I can confirm is that there was reports in Spain that Charles and Camilla would be going to Spain at the end of January, beginning of Feb. And I can confirm that they're not happening. They're not going. And nobody knows where this sort of rumour started from, but it's not true, unfortunately. So I've put my sunscreen back in my carry-on, and I won't be going down the Costa del Sol anytime soon, unfortunately. But there is a lot to look forward to. William and Kate and Charles Camilla are back to work next week. Oh, actually, William is back to work this week. So watch this space. Can't tell you about it, but if you watch this space very, very closely over the next few hours, you will see William in a fantastic engagement, which is really, really important charity engagement and of high profile as well. So looking forward to seeing what that produces, and they will be back to
Where
work
next week.
Where is that
on
week.
The space time continuum? Is that Wednesday
this
night?
This is today, Thursday. So
we can talk about it.
Okay. William is going to be in Leeds with Rob Burrow, the former rugby league superstar who is suffering from motor neuron disease and has raised the profile of the charity to such an incredible extent. And not only is he going to be visiting the Leeds Rhinos, he is going to be with Kevin Sinfeld as well at Headingley Stadium. They are going to be basically talking to them both about their outstanding efforts to raise awareness and funds to fight motor neuron disease. So check this out. It's happening on Thursday afternoon. And yes, in the space time continuum, you will be able to read all about it, no doubt, on the Mirror website.
Thank you, Russell. So sneak preview for me and a retrospective for our listeners, because that is the magic of the space-time continuum. Russell, congratulations on operating the magic box today.
Well, we don't know if it's recorded yet, so we'll see what happens.
Well, fingers crossed. Listeners, thank you for joining us once again. We hope your 2024 is going swimmingly so far, and look forward to catching up with you again very soon. In the meantime, get in touch with us at PodSave on Instagram if you have a question or a suggestion like Holly did. And until next time.
PodSave the King!